Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited to say that we are doing a solo episode. We've had guests for a little while and obviously they've been unbelievable, so incredible, but we're going to just do a little solo this time, and I'm going to try to keep it no longer than 30, 35 minutes because our attention spans are not long. Mine isn't either. And I have a list of all of the questions that you guys submitted to me on our Instagram story for We Met at Acme's Insta. So I'm going to start by addressing the ones that were repeat questions. And then if we have time, we're going to get to the rest of them as well. So I'm going to start with the difference between a first love and a last love. Honestly, I'm not married, so I'm not sure necessarily that I know the exact difference. But what I will say is that a first love is usually wild and emotional, and it's like you're so naive and you don't have anything to base it off of. So you just go in blindly and you trust and you put it all on the table. And it's a roller coaster a lot of the time. And when it's over, it affects you a lot. Like, you know, the first cut is the deepest, and it's because you've never had a cut before when it comes to love. So I think that that is a first love. And then the last love, I think, is just safer and feels more like home and feels like someone that is, you know, will eventually become family to you. So it's not this uneasiness, but I think it's more of just knowing that every day this person has your back and, you know, has your best interest and you trust them with everything. And, you know, like they feel like home to you. So I think that's the difference. And I think people never forget their first love just because, as I mentioned before, the first cut is the deepest. And it's a lot. It's a big, deep cut. I remember I had a boyfriend in high school for 3 years, and it took me a lot of college to get over that relationship. And ever since then, it's been easier and easier to move on and to deal with breakups. And I don't know if that's because I dedicated so much to that first person or because it was just the first time I was really hurt. And then maybe there's been somewhat of a wall up ever since, but that is my experience. Someone mentioned, how do you stay mature during a breakup? Like if your friends are still dating their friends, et cetera. I think it's tough, but the reality is you can't control your friends and you can't control their friends, and all you can control is yourself. And so you need to just control yourself in that way, whether it's deciding not to go to that party or muting that story or just, you know, doing something different that is not what you'd normally do because it's tough, and not getting petty and immature and saying like, why are you hanging out with my ex? You know, if they hung out before, you can't really control what they do after that. No one wants to choose sides. So I think you just have to focus on you. Someone mentioned, they asked how we tell our loved ones that their significant other sucks. It's a funny one because when I think about it, unless there's a real, like, scary almost reason to tell someone that their significant other sucks, like, for example, God forbid, you know, they're being abusive or you find out that they're cheating on that person, it's not easy to tell your good friends that their partner sucks. And by the way, sucks is different than the person just not being the one for them, you know? That's really hard. Like if your best friend is with someone and they don't necessarily suck, they're not abusive, they're not cheating, they're not doing anything that's outright sucky, then it's actually really hard to say something to them because then you just sound crazy. It's kind of the thing that your friend has to realize or loved one has to realize on their own. And you really, unless their life is at harm, you don't really want to risk losing that friendship by just saying, like, I don't like your significant other. I remember actually a friend of mine when I was in a relationship a long time ago said to me, like, you're not going to end up with this person. And I was really upset because I just didn't think it was necessary to say. I didn't think that I would end up with this person. But it doesn't matter what, you know, like, you're my friend. You need to be supportive and pretty much keep your mouth shut. Like, unless you feel like you not saying something is truly going to ruin their life, I think that you need to just let it play out. We did a poll question about couples who sleep together every night and if that's a red flag. And I will say I do think it's a red flag. Unless you live together, that time before you live with someone is time that you'll never get back. And if you're going to be sleeping together every night and paying two rents, what's the point there? I don't really understand. And additionally, like, do you have any independence? It seems like a bit of a codependent situation. And I understand wanting to be with each other all the time. And I think that's actually so incredible and such a good thing to want. But you can't make someone else your happiness, because then if they go away on business or on a trip with their friends or whatever it might be, and you're like destitute without them, that's really scary. You have to have your own life independent of them. And you can't just live because of them and for them. And I think that's why I think that's a red flag. I mean, if you sleep together a lot of nights, fine. But I think there's something special about being apart, whether it's a night or two nights, whatever it might be, and just missing each other and getting to come back to each other and, you know, appreciate each other again. And I think if you go from, you know, before you're living together, you're together every night, there's not really much to look forward to if you do plan to live together in the future. And I think that's really important to note. Are marriage timelines / ultimatums appropriate in your mid-30s? You know, I think in your mid-30s, you know yourself really a lot better than you do in your 20s. And I don't think you should be with anyone that you need to timeline or ultimatum them. I think that they should have respect for the fact that you are in your mid-30s, you know what you want, and they should know what they want. And I think, you know, I've always had a bad taste in my mouth about timelines and ultimatums. And don't get me wrong, I've seen it happen and I've seen it succeed. But there's something, and maybe this is just me being, you know, naive or wishful thinking, But there's something nice about someone really wanting to take that next step with you and being excited to live with you and excited to discuss the future with you. And my therapist tells me that all the time. She's like, you know, the right person is excited about those things. And I think she's right. Someone said bad sex life in a new relationship, but everything else is perfect. Well, I think we've talked about this before, but this just depends on like how important sex is to you, because not everyone thinks it's important and it's not high up on everybody's list. There are other things that are way before sex, like, you know, values aligning and hobbies and, you know, trust and like wanting to do the same things. And, you know, like there's tons of things that could potentially come before sex, but sex is, you know, it is a part of being in a relationship. And if that's something that's a deal breaker for you, then that's a deal breaker. And like, how can everything be perfect if you say that your sex life is bad? To me, that's, I guess, kind of making excuses. But again, if sex isn't a big deal to you, then maybe everything is perfect. Or maybe you can do something to improve that sex life. Somebody asked about eating issues. I think we did like a tell us a secret thing, and a lot of people had written in that they've dealt with bulimia and things like that. You know, eating issues are very common, and it all stems from insecurity and like society and probably Instagram and just comparing yourself to everyone. And it's really tough. I struggle with, you know, my own kind of issues. I have a food Instagram called Don't Expect Salads, and I'm not the healthiest person. And, you know, I recently started eating healthier, and it's really hard. And I'm hungry all the time, like all of the time. I feel like it's really difficult to not overdo it. And luckily for me, I've never dealt with like bulimia or anorexia, but I know tons of people who have, and it's hard. So I would say, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not a health coach or nutritionist, but tips that my sister, who is a health coach, has shared with me is like, you know, listen to your body. Like if your body wants food, then you feed it, but don't just eat because you're bored and, you know, sitting around. Don't just eat because it's there in front of you. I think you should really just eat things that are really delicious. If it's not, you don't have to finish it. Just like have that bite and put it down. You should eat things that make you feel good. So like if you want Shake Shack, but you don't feel good after, like don't eat it often. Just have it like once in a while. I would say don't keep eating if you're full, like if you feel, and I don't mean full like in pain. I mean like nourished and feeling like, okay, I'm good. You know what I mean? You get that feeling, and like sometimes we keep eating and it's not good. And then like the last thing is like, try to be good during the week, I think, so that it doesn't really matter on the weekends. But someone once told me like there's no reason to eat carbs for dinner if you're sitting home on your couch after. And that's kind of true. Do I do it anyway? A lot? Yeah. But I try not to have like dessert, you know? It's all about balance. It's also hard because eating healthy is expensive. Like, you know, things at the supermarket that are healthy are much more expensive than things that are unhealthy. But you want to treat your body well, and, you know, you want to feel good. So if that means like stopping eating after 9 p.m. every night and not going back to the kitchen, then do that for a bit. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert. Tips to move on and let go. It's so different for everyone. You know, it depends on the breakup and why it happened. But breakups are never easy, ever. And it's okay to feel sad and feel the feelings and, you know, look at things in your room that remind you of that person and get emotional. And it's okay to not be ready to go to that big group dinner or whatever it might be. But I think you also, you know, at a certain point, like, you stop feeling bad for yourself and you go out there and you accompany your friend to that event, or you go to that party, you know, make yourself busy and you kind of like brush yourself off and get back into your life. And eventually time will heal your wounds and hopefully meeting someone new will as well, which actually leads me to the next question, which is, are you never fully over someone until you start seeing someone else? And I think there is something true about that. You hear the phrase, like, the only way to get over someone is to get under someone else. And I actually don't disagree with it. I think, at least for women, like, our body chemically attracts after sex. And like, I was talking about this in our episode with Atlanta. Once I have sex with someone and it's good, like, I'm probably more into them than I was before. So I think, you know, I'm not saying go out and start having sex with everyone, but until you really have that intimate connection with someone else, I think it is hard to stop thinking about the last person that you had that intimate connection with, because that's your last point of comparison. And again, you should never compare, but it's inevitable. And, you know, you need to get yourself out there. You got to do it. Like, you can't play the victim. No one wants to be the victim. Someone asked where I shop, and that's actually a perfect segue, because I was just playing with my rings and I wanted to tell you about Mejuri. I've spoken about it before. You've heard me talk about it, but basically Mejuri is a jewelry company, and all my friends left and right are getting engagement rings and, you know, nice necklaces and upgrades on wedding rings. And it's so much and it's over the top, and I'm not there, and that's okay, but I can still get jewelry for myself. It doesn't have to be this grand special occasion. And that's why I love Mejuri so much, because it's reasonable and the rings are so nice. I love my B ring and I have an astrology necklace, as you guys know. So all of that is incredible and I want you guys to experience it too. So all you have to do is go to Mejuri.com/acme and you get free shipping on orders over $100. So, like, you know, ball out a little, get something for yourself. It's really nice. I love it. I've been wearing it all over. I've been posting about it on my story so you can see. Mejuri, Mejuri.com/acme. You will get free shipping on orders over $100. And if you love the podcast and you love, you know, astrology like I do, you should definitely look into the astrology necklaces. Get something for yourself. We need to do more things for ourselves because we're independent, and, you know, guys too. Get some jewelry for yourself. Why not? Someone asked if you're never fully over someone until you start seeing some. Oh, we talked about that already. Duh. How often do you go on dates in serious relationship? In a serious relationship? That's tough. It so depends on the relationship. Some of my friends will have a designated date night with their partner. I've had that in the past, but my life has gotten bigger and busier. And, you know, a lot of the time, date night is the only night that I can make it work for a work event or another dinner with a friend. And I don't think that sticking to one the same night per week is the best idea. I think it's fun, however, to make plans with your partner. So let's say, you know, your favorite band is coming into town and you'll get tickets ahead of time, or maybe you want to go to a Broadway show together or like see that new movie that came out. By the way, I just saw Parasite and it is the best movie ever. It's got subtitles. So if you can't deal with subtitles, maybe wait or skip it, but it's phenomenal. And it's about like the divide between the rich and the poor, and just don't miss it. It's got lots of layers. But yeah, going on dates, I mean, it's less about like, let's plan this dinner and you better be there or I'm going to be mad, and more like, oh, that new restaurant we've been thinking about going to, like, when are you free to go? But again, like, I think it really does happen naturally. Like, if you like to be together on Sunday nights and go to this Italian spot together, like, that ends up kind of being your date night. If you like to order Chinese food together, if you like to cook once a week, then, you know, make that once a week cooking time for you guys to have together and kind of like a date. You asked about very demanding friendships and what to do there. That's funny. I feel like I haven't had a demanding friendship since before I was 25, but I know that they exist. And I probably at some point was a demanding friend to many of my friends. I think that demanding friendships happen when you're not super busy and when you're nervous about friendships changing and growing and becoming different places in your life. For me, I felt like I was a demanding friend when I was not self-reliant, when I was living at home and I needed my friends' apartments to go hang out at because I didn't want to be with my parents, or like I was the single one maybe, and like my friends were all in relationships and I was like, everyone's choosing their partner over me. But the bottom line is, I think I was only demanding in friendships when I wasn't in a good place. And I think that people, you know, not to generalize, but if you're very demanding in your friendship, maybe there's not a lot going on for you. Maybe you're not in the best place, and maybe, you know, you need to do a little bit of maturing, because I think the best friendships are those that you don't have to put crazy, crazy maintenance on. But when you do check in, and hopefully, you know, it's both sides, it's two-sided. When you do check in with each other, like, you're so happy to hear from each other and you want to make a plan right away. There are friends I don't talk to every day. Some friends I don't talk to for a week, and we're as close as ever. And I think the mark of a good friendship is just feeling like you can talk to them about everything. But someone who you don't feel that way about and they're demanding, it's like you kind of got to keep your distance, because it sounds like that's a bit of a toxic friendship. You know, like, that's not healthy for you. You can't just keep giving and giving to this friend if you're not getting anything in return. Someone said, can we talk about what's normal versus not normal in relationships? Like, not missing them or not feeling attracted sometimes. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't think that you're always attracted to your partner. I think that would be really nuts. Like, when you're in a really serious relationship, you've been with that person for a long time. And like, think about parents and things like that. Like, I doubt my mom is like always like, oh my God, you know, he's whining about football. He looks so attractive. Like, no, like, you're not going to always be attracted to your partner. That's just impossible. But if you're never attracted to your partner, that's a red flag. Not missing them, you know, I get that. I think actually not missing them is probably safer than missing them all the time. It's either a sign of like independence in a relationship, or it could be not normal, depending on the rest of your relationship. Are you not missing them because you like your life without them better and you feel like you're more you when you're without them? Or are you not missing them because they give you so much confidence and safety and security that you don't miss them because you're talking with them and you're communicating with them? I think it's, you know, it's totally different. The microphone is dying, or the recorder. I hope it doesn't die. But if it does, we'll revisit. But hopefully it doesn't lose this. I feel like I should put the batteries in. Sorry, guys. Don't mind my conversations with myself. I'm going to put the batteries in because Mercury is in retrograde and you never fucking know. Hold on. Okay, so I put new batteries in and now I'm less nervous. Thank you, Mercury retrograde. We had just talked about what's normal and what's not normal in relationships, and someone asked me to share my Raya experience. Raya is a dating app with like celebrity type people, influencers, lots of photographers. It's, I guess, invite only, or like you have to apply and be accepted. So off the bat, it's super pretentious. I did not have the best Raya experience, but this is my experience I'm talking about. So that doesn't mean you might not have the best Raya experience. I have a friend who met a wonderful woman on Raya, and they've been dating ever since, and I'm truly happy for them. I have another friend who meets guys on Raya all the time, and, you know, some are celebrities, some are not, and she also cultivates meaningful relationships with these people. My experience was that the guy that I'm looking for was not on Raya. And that's okay. But I felt like the person that I'm looking for is not necessarily, I mean, I don't know, but was not necessarily like this artsy kind of type that is going to be on a dating app like Raya. I felt like I would match with people and they wouldn't really strike up conversation. And I felt like not really great about myself because I felt like most of the girls on this app were models or, you know, actresses. And I didn't like the comparison that I felt like I was dealing with. And there were some features I wasn't thrilled about. Like you can't choose just one location. You kind of get a mixed bag of locations. So again, my experience wasn't great, but you can, I think, have a great experience on any dating app. It's totally different for all. So that was my experience. Someone told me to talk about my theory that everyone has been cheated on. Did I say this recently? Maybe I said this in the podcast with Michaela. But yeah, no, I think that at some point, everyone's been cheated on. That could mean when you're like 18 or when you're in a middle school relationship. It could mean in college. It could mean after college. I hope that's not true. I guess thinking about it, it's a little bit of a dark thing to think. But I don't know. I just think that everyone's kind of cheated and everyone's been cheated on. And maybe that's not the case. And if it's not, amazing. But I feel like it's hard to say that that's not true. I don't know. Someone asked if I've ever been in the middle of a cheat, like if someone cheated with me. Yes, for sure. I think I've spoken about this before, but in college, I dated someone who I knew had a girlfriend. The girlfriend was at a totally different school, you know, many, many miles away. And this person had cheated on their girlfriend many, many times. Do I feel great that I was the other girl willingly, knowingly? No. But would I have felt a lot worse if this person wasn't serial cheating already? Yes. I knew that I wasn't going to be the first person he cheated on her with, nor would I be the last. And that was absolutely true. I was the other girl. Funny enough, we ended up having strong feelings for each other. He moved in with me while still dating this girl. And then naturally, he ended up cheating on me with definitely her, but also additional girls. So I really do believe that like something will end how it started. Like it started with him cheating. It ended with him cheating. He was always who he said he was. And like, I just caught feelings. I don't think or recommend being the person, the other person in any relationship. I think if someone's willing to cheat with you, they're also willing to cheat on you eventually. And it just shows their character. And it's just like gross. How to break up when nothing is wrong in the relationship, but they aren't the one. You know, just with like a really heavy heart and do it in person and be really open and honest and make sure that they know that they never did anything. It's just a feeling and it's just a, what's it called? An intuitive feeling that you have and there's not really much you could do to change that feeling and they're wonderful. You just don't feel like they're the person for you. And maybe you're wrong and maybe you'll find that out and maybe you'll be the loser in the end. But This is just how you're feeling right now. Someone asked how your first therapy session should go down. I think, you know, I'll tell you how it shouldn't go down. I went into therapy once with a potential therapist and she was like, so what do your parents do? And I was like, well, that doesn't help you or me in any way. And then I went into my old first therapist who was great. And she was like, so tell me, I forgot exactly what she said, but she was like, so tell me about you. Where are you from? What do you like? I don't know. It was more like open-ended and not offensive. And I felt this freedom to be like, oh, well, you know, my name is Lindsay and I'm 25 and, you know, I grew up, whatever, in New York. And like, it was just open conversation. And then all of a sudden I'm like telling my deepest, darkest secrets, not actually, but like saying the reasons that I'm there. And I think that should come up in a first session. Like, hey, I'm here because I want to make my relationship with my dad better. Or like, I want to understand why it doesn't work out with me and guys, whatever the reason is. Talk about how a fear of being alone isn't a reason to stay in a bad relationship. Well, I mean, that's a fact. I think it's so easy to be in a relationship when all your friends are in a relationship and you don't want to be the only single one, like where everyone's like, oh, I'm so sorry that it didn't work out. Or like, I'm here for you, but they're really not because they're in a relationship. But that's okay. Like, would you rather be alone now or later down the line get divorced and really be alone when everyone's married with kids and doesn't even have time for you? You know, like there's nothing to be afraid of. And by the way, even if you are married with kids and you want to get divorced, like there's nothing to be afraid of then either. There's always going to be someone for you. And you have yourself. So if you love yourself and you love the person that you are, being alone isn't scary. And being in a bad relationship is 10,000 times worse than being alone. And then lastly, someone asked to talk about judgmental family members. They suck, but there will always be judgmental family members. And you'll have the last laugh when you say, fuck it. I don't care what you think. And you follow your heart. And your family's always going to give you their opinion, usually, you know, and it's not about what they think. It's about what you think and how you feel about someone. So if you feel a certain way about someone, if you love someone, whether they're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever they are, and your parents have a problem with that, your parents don't think they're motivated, your parents don't like where they came from, your parents don't like that their parents are divorced, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's about how you feel. So fuck the family members and look in the mirror and say, how do I feel about this person? And if it's the same as your family, then maybe that's something to think about. But if it's totally different and you really have trust in them, then that's all that matters. So thank you guys so much for letting me do a solo episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please write a review if you have any thoughts and questions and concerns. And follow us on Instagram at We Met at Acme and stay tuned for announcements of our upcoming events. And also, we sell t-shirts and hats on WeMetAtAcmeShop.com. Have a good one.